is working to make us the kind of people that God wants us to be. The Spirit that strengthens our inner man, as the Apostle Paul says it. And we've talked about that a lot. For the past several weeks, we've been talking about some habits that the Spirit teaches us that we can put into our lives that will help us to overcome some of the things that we don't want to be doing. You know, in 1 Peter, the third chapter, Peter says, he asks a question considering the fact that the earth and everything that's in it is going to be burned up. He says, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness? So we're trying to answer that question. I know that we need to let the Spirit teach us about these habits. Today we're going to talk about overcoming anger. It's a difficult thing to overcome anger. And the habit that the Spirit wants to teach us is to rule ourselves, not to be ruled by self, but for us to learn to rule self. Colossians, the third chapter at verse 8, Paul says, now do you also put away all these things, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. So let's talk about anger. And we're going to look at two examples that we find in the Old Testament. One is an example of anger, and the other is an example of a spirit controlling that anger. So let's start in the Old Testament at Proverbs, the 16th chapter at verse 32, because he's going to sort of set the stage for these two examples. Proverbs 16 at verse 32, the wise man said, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And contrast that with a person who is angry, he says, he that rules his spirit is mightier than the one that takes a city. So let's think about Naaman. And Naaman is a character that we're familiar with in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings, Naaman deals with the prophet. He is a leper. He is a man who is of some great wealth. He is a soldier of some fame. He is a soldier in the army of the nation to whom Israel is subservient at this point. Naaman came with his horses, 2 Kings 5 at verse 9 says, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, but thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth. That just means Naaman was angry. He went away and he said, behold, I thought he'll surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper. Naaman knew what he thought ought to happen, and Naaman got angry when Elisha sent word that there was a way he could be cleansed. He continued, he said, are not Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? I don't know. I've never seen the Jordan River personally, but Mark has been there. I know some others have been there. And the Jordan River is really a pretty muddy river. It's not something that you would typically go and wash in if you had a choice. So he just makes the observation, these two rivers in Damascus, they're better than the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned. He went away in a rage. This is anger. We call it road rage, don't we? We call it just vehement anger. His servants came near, spoke to him, and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Then he went down, he dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Where did his anger get him? All of us would have to look at that and say it didn't get him anywhere. How did this anger boil up in him? He didn't control himself. Anger is the expression of an uncontrolled spirit. Well, let's consider the case of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is in the position of being the governor among the people of Israel as they returned from Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem. Situation is dire. The land has been laid waste. Their cities are destroyed. The people are just barely getting by. And Nehemiah, as governor, is distressed by some of the things that he sees. And he probably should have been. Well, let's just read what the record says about Nehemiah. We're going to start Nehemiah 5 at verse 1. "There arose a great cry of the people and their wives against the brethren, the Jews. There were that said, we, our sons and daughters, are many. Let us get grain that we may eat and live." They were starving. "So also there were that said, we're mortgaging our fields and our vineyards and our houses. Let us get grain because of the dearth." We're going into tremendous debt. We don't have anything to eat. "There were also some that said, we borrowed money for the king's tribute upon our fields and vineyards." We had to borrow money to pay our taxes. "Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. Lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to help it. Other men have our fields and our vineyards." There were some people that were well off. Some people that managed to get through this difficult time with great wealth. And so what was happening was everything was concentrating in the hands of just a very few people. So Nehemiah, because he's a man who cares about what's going on in Israel, about these people that are going into debt just to service their mortgage, he says, "I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words." And he should have been, right? He was angry. But then notice what it says. "Then I consulted with myself." Now, something has to be done. This is not the condition that should prevail in Israel. And Nehemiah is angry, and he stepped back and he consulted with himself. I supplied the words "then." "Then I contended with the nobles and the rulers. I said to them, you exact usury," that's interest, by the way, "every one of his brother. I held a great assembly against them. I said to them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, that were sold into the nations. Would you even sell your brethren that they should be sold unto us? They held their peace. They found no answer. He had convicted them. And I said, the thing that you do is not good. Ought you not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? Shouldn't you respect God? Not respect me. See, that's when rage takes over. He says, respect God. I likewise, my brethren and my servants, do lend them money and grain. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their fields, their vineyards, their olive yards, their houses, the hundredth part of them, of the money and of the grain, the new wine, the oil that you exact of them. Then they said, we will. And they went on, they specified what they were going to do. They said, we will restore them and we'll require nothing of them. So will we do, even as thou sayest. Then he called the priests. He took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. I shook out my lap, Nehemiah says. So God shakes out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise. If you don't keep your word, God will respond. Even thus shall he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and they praised Jehovah, and the people did according to this promise. Former governors that were before me were chargeable to the people. They took wages of the people because they were governors, and took of them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. That was their yearly tax. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people, but so did not I. I, as governor, took this step myself. So he was angry at the situation. He confronted the rulers and the nobles, those that had amassed great wealth, that were able to lend to the people at usury interest. And they said, we will change. And then he looked at himself. And he took steps because of the fear of God. I also continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land. All my servants were gathered thither to the work. Moreover, there were at my table of the Jews and of the rulers 150 men, besides those that came unto us from among the nations that were round about us. Now that which was prepared for one day, there's one ox and six choice sheep, fowls were prepared for me. Once in 10 days, one in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yea, for all this, I demanded not the bread of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Remember me, O God, for good, all that I've done for this people. God gets the credit. You had Naaman, whose spirit ruled him. You had Nehemiah, who ruled his spirit. And the question for us is, are we going to rule our anger, or are we going to let our anger rule us? Genesis 4, beginning at verse 4, you read about Cain. And this is what God said to Cain. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Jehovah had respect to Abel and to his offering, but to Cain and his offering, he had not respect, Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Jehovah said to Cain, "Why are you wroth? Why are you angry? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall it not be lifted up? And if thou doest not well, sin crouches at the door. Under thee shall be its desire, but do thou rule over it." You have to rule your spirit. Cain told his brother Abel, came to pass when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Colossians 3, at verse 2. Gentleness is the antidote to letting anger rule over us. Paul said, put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. Be gentle. James 3 at verse 16, where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion in every evil deed, but the wisdom that is from above, what the Holy Spirit is teaching you, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without variance, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Titus, the third chapter. Titus is of course, giving instruction to Paul is giving instruction to Titus. He says, put them in mind to be subject to rulers. We're talking about what Titus ought to be preaching. He says, put them in mind to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work, to speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle. Look at the contrast. Don't be contentious. Don't speak evil of someone. Instead, be gentle, showing all meekness toward all men. And yes, there are times when people do things about which we should be upset. But we still have to rule our spirit. Just like Nehemiah did. He said this to the Ephesians. We were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy. Right? Every one of us that's put on Christ knows. There was a time in my life when I lived in anger. I lived in malice. I was hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, it is not enough to say, I'm just an angry man. We were all angry people. And it does not suffice to say that's just my makeup. I'm angry. I get angry fast. We must grow beyond that because that's what the Spirit is teaching us. Galatians 5, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Finally, we'll conclude with Galatians 6 at verse 1. sometimes the evil that we see that begs for us to respond to it is evil that's done to other people. Sometimes the evil that we see is evil that's done against God. And we feel like we ought to be angry because we're defending God's honor. This is what Paul said. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I don't think he's saying respond to this person in a spirit of gentleness because you know that there, but for the grace of God, you would go. I don't think he's saying that. I think what he is saying is when you go close to sin, realize that there's a temptation there. If you have difficulty with anger, and you see someone who is angry, and you seek to help them overcome that anger, be careful. Because their anger can rub off on you. And their anger can make you angry. Instead, we want to be like Naaman's servants. Remember them all the way back when we first started this discussion? We were talking about Naaman. Remember what his servant said? If he told you to do something great, you'd have done it, wouldn't you? The spirit of gentleness. He didn't rail against Naaman. He just reminded him of something. If anger besets you and you need to respond to God, you're like everybody else here. We were all angry people. But we were washed. We don't behave that way anymore, and we know that you don't want to behave that way anymore. And we want to help you. The washing is available. Jesus is the sacrifice. Put him on in baptism. Turn away from sin. And we will help you. Now, you'll have difficulties. It will creep up once in a while. And you'll still have to deal with anger. But James said, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another so that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.